if you will, please. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 is where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Good to see folks still coming in. You don't get kicked out if you're not here for the first note. We're glad that you're here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going to begin reading in verse number 21. The thought tonight is always or sometimes. Always or sometimes. Beginning in verse number 21. This is the Apostle Paul's testimony as he's writing to a church that he started in Titus Justice's house. And now it's grown. It's become known in the land. And the Apostle Paul has been separated for a time, and it had gone into real heresy. There are all kinds of false doctrines being taught, and they crept in just little by little. And the Apostle Paul writes the first letter to tell them they need to get it taken care of. And then he's writing the second letter to encourage them because they have indeed gotten it taken care of. And so he's testifying to them now part of the price that was paid that they might have that church there. And I think sometimes if we would consider the price that was paid that we could have this church here, if the Bible speaks about drinking water from wells that you have not dug and eating fruit that we didn't plant, that's our testimony here. And we need to appreciate that. And then when you stop and think about the price that was paid by others that you could hear the gospel. The man that won me to Christ was working in Fort Collins, Colorado on a shoestring. The church, I don't know what the salary was to him. I don't know that he left before I became a real active part of the church as far as knowing the ins and the outs of what was happening. But I know that he paid a price to be there. The few people that were in the church paid a price to have him there. And so the gospel costs. It costs people. And, of course, it certainly cost the Lord Jesus. It's free to us. Praise the Lord, it's free. I didn't have enough money. I couldn't have bought myself a one-way ticket across the street when I got saved, but God still saved me. But it was at the price of other people's ambition, other people's labor, other people's work, sometimes probably even some of their suffering. So here the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit whensoever or whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolish, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Let me share this with you. In the Jewish faith, it was against the Jewish law for a man to be beaten over 40 times. They could strike him 40 times, and that was the limit. And so they always stopped one short in case they miscounted somewhere. They wouldn't be guilty of over punishing this man. So the Apostle Paul said, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. That is the one that hurt the worst, I'll guarantee you. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Could I say today that it probably would have been, humanly speaking, very easy for the Apostle Paul to have become discouraged beyond measure and beyond repair. long journeys, beatings, shipwrecks, illness, rejection by the very churches that he began, facing death regularly for the cause of Christ. And yet we read in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, he said this, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now, the Apostle Paul uses two words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God there that tells us he's not just boasting about his own self. He says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And so the "we" and the "us" incorporates other people. We sometimes think that he could do that because he was an apostle. Could I share with you that just like folk make mistakes here because we're human, the Apostle Paul was just as human as any of us are. And the Apostle Paul needed grace just like you and I do. But the Apostle Paul, when God told him to write the book of Romans, he includes other people. And he says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now, when you walk with a person for a while, maybe you're in a car caravan or a car, what do they call that when you take a ride with somebody else? Carpool. You're in a carpool and you go from one place to another and back on a daily basis and you spend a lot of time with them. Or maybe you're in a type of a job where you go and you get into a vehicle and you're traveling with somebody all the time. And you spend a lot of time with people. You walk with people often enough and you begin to see what makes them tick. You begin to see the things that anger them, the things that frustrate them. You get to see the things that sadden them, the things that break their heart. You get to see what amuses them. You get to know the person when you speak and spend some time with them. And of course, you begin to learn where it is that they receive their strength. You begin to understand where it is that they receive their hope, if they have hope. Tonight we want to look at some verses where the Apostle Paul uses the word "always." And I believe in using that word, he's telling us, he's telling we-ans, that we can have the same success that God wants us to have as God wanted him to have. And so I'm going to take you to several places. We haven't been using our Bibles a lot. We take a text and then I repeat and recite several verses through the message. But we're going to turn to some verses today. So let's start with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter number 24. As we think on the subject of always or sometimes. Acts chapter number 24 and verse number 16. Here the Apostle Paul writes and says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man." Now, when we think about always having a conscience void of offense, do we work at that? Now, the Apostle Paul said, now notice what he says here. He said, find this verse here. He said, "And herein do I exercise." The word "exercise" means I work on this. I labor towards this. And so the Apostle Paul had this exercise program. And this exercise program wasn't lifting weights or running. It wasn't riding a bicycle around the block or anything of that nature. His exercise program was to have a good conscience. He worked and labored that he might always have a good conscience in two areas, before God and before man. Now, sometimes people are so fearful of man, they forget to please God. And sometimes they want us to believe that they love God so much that they don't care what people think. You ought to always care what people think. Now, you ought to never change correct doctrine because of what people think, but you ought to care about what people think. When someone twists off, that's a oil field term for it means that you lost your bit in the bottom of the hole. Your pipe twisted off and you lost it. And when someone in the ministry or someone, a child of God, twists off, when they quit, when they go back, when they faint, when they stop serving God, that's not the time to be angry with them. That's the time to ask ourselves this question: what could I have done different? that maybe would have allowed the Lord to work in their heart to salvage them prior to them becoming so messed up. The Apostle Paul believed that it was important what both the Lord and people thought. You know, the Lord talks to people, but people talk to people too. And we need to understand, the Apostle Paul said, it's important to always have a conscience, to have always, a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, if you're doing what God wants you to do, sometimes people are going to lie about you, and they're going to start rumors about you. They did that about Paul. They did that about Daniel. They did that about Joseph. And they're going to lie about you if you're serving the Lord. But when somebody says something bad about us, we ought to pray and ask God to make them have to, they said of Joseph, in order to say something bad about him, we're going to have it about his God. And then of Jeremiah, I think it was, they said, in order to say something bad about him, we're going to have to lie. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if people had to lie to say something bad about us? And here the Apostle Paul said, I always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man. Now let me ask you a question tonight. Yeah, if I were to say, do you do that? Most of us would say yes. Now here's the question. Do we do that always? Or do we do that sometimes? Do we do that when nobody knows about it? Or just when people know about it? Always or sometimes? How's your conscience? You know, a good conscience makes a great pillow. A good conscience makes a great pillow. Now, some people can go to sleep, like Jacob, he had a rock for a pillow, but a good conscience, it makes sleeping easy. And we need to labor to always have a good conscience before God and before men. Secondly, let's jump over now. We're staying with Paul's writings, so let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse number 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here we find the Bible says that he's always abounding. Now, that word abounding means exceeding a fixed number. It means doing more than you have to do. It means going the extra mile. Abounding means to do more than you've been asked, or more than has been required, or more than has been expected, or more than the person before you did. Abounding is a good word. And here the Apostle Paul said he's always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now let's back up here a ways in this portion of Scripture. Verse number 55, he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, here the Bible says that we can always be doing more for the Lord than we have to. We can always be doing more than is expected of us. We can always be going the extra mile. The Bible says it simply, we can do that. We can be abounding in the work of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was, and the we and the us includes us. And we too can do that. Always. Always. Somebody says, but Brother Sutton, you don't know my circumstance. No, I don't. I don't know exactly Paul's circumstance either. But I know when we read the text to begin with, he went through a lot more than most of us have gone through. And yet the Bible said he was always abounding, always doing more than was expected, always doing more than he had to, always being more than had been written down somewhere. He was always abounding. What we need to understand today is that being a Christian is not a part-time job. Being a Christian isn't something you get up on Sunday morning, you put on your good duds and polish your shoes and open the door for mama and go to church. It's not that way. Being a Christian is a 24-hour-a-day thing. It's a full-time occupation. What a wonderful life it is to be a child of God, to know the Lord Jesus. And the Bible testifies that the Apostle Paul was always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, not a person here. Probably many of the people that are listening on live stream would say, well, I knew that. Let me ask you a question. Always or sometimes? Now, I thank God for people who do right anytime. But the Bible said we ought to always abound in the work of the Lord. Let's go a little further into Paul's writing, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And verse number 6. Paul says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Here the Apostle Paul said he's always confident. Now that word confident means bold and courageous. Now listen, bold and courageous, but it also incorporates the word cheerful. I know some people that are bold. I know some people that are courageous, but man, they have a nasty attitude about them. And so the word that Paul's using here for confident is bold and courageous, but it incorporates the thought of being cheerful at the same time. And Paul said, we're always confident. Now, if I ask you tonight if you're confident, you say, well, yeah, always or sometimes. You know, when the bills are all paid and mama's happy and there's things in the refrigerator and the fuel tank's filled up and the car needle's on full, not on empty, and the doctor bills have all been cut down to a minimum, yeah, we're pretty confident. But what about when everything that ought to be full is empty and everything that ought to be empty is full? How confident are we then? The Apostle Paul said that he was always confident. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Confident. My confidence is in him. And I ought to be as confident at my lowest ebb as I am at the zenith of success or the zenith of my work or the zenith of the best that things could get on earth. There ought not to be any difference in my confidence. I need to be always, always confident. The songwriter said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so, if our hope is built on Jesus, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then no matter if my physical is down here, or it's up here, my financial is down here, or it's up here, my social is here, or up here, my confidence ought to be the same if it's built on the Lord Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul said that he was always confident. Going a little further into this chapter, or in this book, chapter 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, as sorrowing, yet always rejoicing, as poor, and yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Here, Paul said that he was always rejoicing. Boy, I know some folk I'd like to ask that question to, just eyeball to eyeball. Are you always rejoicing? Now, somebody says, well, I'd like to ask you. No. I'm not always the happiest guy in town. No, I'm not. If I think somebody's trying to take me to the cleaners, I can get nasty attitude, but I shouldn't. The Bible says here, Paul said, I'm always rejoicing. And yet we read the list of things that he went through. In fact, the one that breaks my heart in that list is, he said, perils amongst false brethren. People who claimed that they knew the Lord Jesus, claimed that they believed like Paul did, claimed that they had the same authority Paul did, the same goals, the same desires, the same hopes and dreams and ambitions. And yet Paul said they ended up being perilous times. And yet Paul could say, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost of God, he said, I'm always rejoicing in a time. I'm always rejoicing. And we need to understand Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, in your minds tonight, take the Apostle Paul's life for a little bit. He prayed and prayed and prayed that God would let him go somewhere to establish a ministry where he wouldn't be building on the testimony of other people and so forth. And finally, in a vision, he saw a man from Macedonia standing up and saying, come over and help us. And he construed from that God wanted him to go to Philippi. And so they went there, and they hadn't been there very long, and he got in all kinds of trouble. They cast the devil out of a young lady that was making money for her owners, and ended up being arrested for it and beaten and thrown into jail and all those things. And yet, where do we find him at midnight? He's singing and praying and praising God. And so when he says here, I always, verse number 10 again, he said, as sorrowing yet always rejoicing. Did he not rejoice in Acts chapter 16 when he's being beaten in that jail cell? At midnight, he's rejoicing. And then another time, and we read this, made reference to this several times of late, when he was in Acts chapter 27, he was in that leaky boat trying to get to Rome. And seasoned sailors are crying and weeping, and all hope that we would be saved was taken away. And Paul's the only one. He says, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. And you know, if we'd just stop and think that believing God is where our hope is supposed to be, that's where our rejoicing is supposed to be, it would settle several things. I told Miss Judy this afternoon, I worked for some time on Friday on a car that didn't cooperate at all. It has one heater that's not working. There's about five things that can cause a heater not to work, and I checked out four of them. Any one of them should have fixed it, could have fixed it, and didn't fix it. Had all kinds of trouble. I told Miss Judy today, I was starting to ask the Lord if there's somebody that I knew that I hadn't forgiven or something, that God had sent me a tormentor down my road and put it in my garage. But we ought to be able to rejoice. And we ought to be able to even to laugh at ourselves. So in this, Paul had confidence. If it's the Lord's choice that I be here instead of there, if it's the Lord's choice that I'm going through this instead of that, if it's the Lord's choice that I might look bad for a while, if it's the Lord's choice, I can accept this and I can rejoice. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to preach the gospel, and then the Bible says that he took another 70 and those he sent out two by two to do the same thing. And they came back and they're talking, you know, as you would. You go out and, you know, and you knock doors, you visit and come back and you rejoice in your stories. You swap stories. This happened to me. This happened to me. We saw this. We saw that. That's what they did. And they were rejoicing that they'd seen devils kicked out. They'd seen people set free. They'd seen God do great things. And Jesus said to them, don't rejoice in these things, but rejoice that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, for a child of God, that never changes. That doesn't change if we're in jail. It doesn't change if we're in a leaky boat. It doesn't change if we've been betrayed by false brethren. It doesn't change like the weather in South Maryland changes. It's the same all the time. And the Apostle Paul said, so I can rejoice always. Now, let me ask you a question. I know you can rejoice because sometimes I see you laughing, and I love to hear people laugh. I don't like to hear them laugh in a disguising way, and sometimes you can see that their laugh is hollow and it's empty, and you wonder what's behind that that's hurting them so bad. But I love to hear people laugh. And so when I say, "Do you rejoice?" you'd say, "Yes, yes, yes." And I'd say, "But always or sometimes?" Paul said it's to be done always. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. I'm not sure that's exactly the verse I was looking for, but that'll still work, because the Bible says always having all sufficiency. And we need to understand the sufficiency of the necessities of life. And it also, abounding again in sufficiency, is a mind content with its lot. All sufficiency in all things. Paul said we have that. I believe it's in 1 Peter where it says that God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He hath already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so every excuse is eliminated. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm always sufficient. There's always enough. Always enough." Remember when the prophet got fed and she had just a little handful of meal and a little bit of oil, and yet it fed three of them for 7 years, wasn't it? There was sufficient. Always enough. Always enough. And I don't believe it was one of those cases. My mama used to say, "Well, if you're going to stay for supper, I'll put another cup of water in the soup." It wasn't one of those cases. It was just that the sufficiency of God was enough. And Paul said it's always that way. How many times have we said, "We could do this if X, Y, or Z"? No, the Bible says we have sufficiency. We always have sufficiency if we'll just find it, if we'll just look for it, if we'll just believe the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5 says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." Oh, this is important. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And again, because our sufficiency is of God, He's the same all the time, then we always have sufficient to do what God wants us to do. There's no lacking for us to do what God wants us to do. Sometimes we try to run ahead of God, we get in problems there, but there's always sufficient to do what God wants us to do. Now, we ask ourselves the question, do I really believe that I have sufficient? Always or sometimes? Always or sometimes? Ephesians chapter number 5. We're sticking pretty close to Paul's writing tonight, aren't we? Ephesians chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always." Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we find that Paul says, "I'm always thankful." Always thankful. Now that means filled right. That means, and we get back to verse number 18, if we're filled right, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, but when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so we find the Bible says that he's filled right, and that he speaks right, and that he's giving thanks always. You know that what fills us will control us? Let me give you a proof text on that. Luke chapter number 4 for just a moment tonight. Luke chapter 4, and I promise you we'll be here just a little bit. Luke chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 28. The Bible says, oh, I hear some rustling of Bible pages. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 28. The Bible says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him into the brow of the hill whereof their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. What fills you will control you. And so here in our text, he tells us to be filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with the Spirit, he says, then we're going to start speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. And there's a natural outcome of that. Giving thanks. Giving thanks always for all things. You know, we sometimes want to choose what we give God thanks for. But sometimes the things that we would least like to have in our life are the things we most need in our life to make us like the Lord Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul said, if we're filled with the right thing, we're speaking to ourselves the right language, that a natural outcome of that is we're going to always be thankful in any situation. In any situation. When we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, we'll not turn over there, but it says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But the Apostle Paul doesn't say just in the problem give thanks. God says for the problem give thanks. And the Bible says, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God. And you know, you look at Paul's problems and you say, well, how could he be beaten like that? 3 times, 40 stripes save one. 3 times beaten, shipwrecks and all these things. And how could the Apostle Paul always give thanks? It was because he was filled with the Spirit. He spoke to himself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in his heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. We need to learn how to do that. Now, are you thankful? Now, I know you're thankful for some things. I know you're thankful for some things. If you've got road-walking sense in your marriage, you're thankful for your spouse. If you have children, you're thankful for your children. If your parents are still alive, you ought to be thankful for your parents. Sometimes anyone is thankful sometimes. But the question is, are we always thankful? Always. You know, I came tonight to give you all a test, and it seems like maybe I've given myself one too. Well, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6, probably didn't even have to turn your page. Verse number 18. The Bible says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, note what we're always to be praying for. We're always to be praying for all saints. You know, it's easier to pray for some people than it is to pray for other people, isn't it? I mean, just face it. Some people you're closer to. Some people you know more about them. Some people you know the other story. You know the other side of the coin. But the Bible says here in verse number 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There's only 2 kinds of people in the world. I'm not talking about Baptist and Methodist. I'm talking about saints and ain'ts. They're either your brother or they're not. They're either your sister or they're not. And the Bible says that we're to pray for all saints. And the Bible says we are to, always, praying always for all saints. And so the Bible says we have a lot of work cut out for us. In Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, Jesus tells a parable and he says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I think there'd be a whole lot less people giving up if we just prayed all the time. The Bible says we're to be instant in season and out of season. We're to pray without ceasing. And I think that that's the always that Paul is talking about here. And so when we look at Paul's life, we see how could he survive those things and how could he accomplish those things? It's because he always did the things he was always supposed to do. And we will be successful in comparison to how we always do what we're supposed to do. So, you and me, you and I, always, most of the time, sometimes. Paul said this was an all times matter for him. Not just when it felt good, not just when he was feeling good, not just when he was around people he knew, not when he was just out of town, always. If we'll always do what we're supposed to do, we'll see God's blessings on us like we always want to see God's blessings on us. Let's pray.